Hi, this is Roger Marsh for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Excited to share that this entire week of programs will be centered around the importance of romance and marriage. Each day this week on the program, we'll have broadcasts dedicated to empowering you and your spouse to fight for your marriage. Head over to our website at drjamesdobson.org to join us for our free 10 Days of Romance series. And every day for 10 days, you'll receive insights on intimacy from Dr. James Dobson and best-selling author Shanti Feldhahn. Again, you can join in at drjamesdobson.org.
Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for another edition of Family Talk. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and whether you're listening to us on the radio or online, I'm so happy that you've tuned in today. We'd be kind of lonely here all by ourselves. On this broadcast, you'll hear the remainder of an interview between Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Sharon May. She is founder and president of Safe Haven Relationship Counseling Center. Sharon is the daughter of some very dear friends of ours, Dr. Archibald Hart and his wife Kathleen. Sharon is also a licensed marriage and family therapist. Today, she and Dr. Clinton will unpack practical ways couples can break the negative cycle in their relationship. Here now is the conclusion of this insightful interview on Family Talk.
Sharon, welcome back. We had a wonderful conversation yesterday. So looking forward to today's broadcast as we talk about how to come out of the pain, maybe go to a new place in our relationship and love together.
Thanks, Tim, for having me. Good to be here today. And hopefully some of the listeners from yesterday can get to the next level of what to do if my marriage is broken and disconnected. And if they're listening for the first time today, are they able to go back and listen to yesterday's in the archives? Is that possible,
yes,
Tim?
Yes, absolutely. They can go right up on the website at drjamesdobson.org, or they can go up on our Facebook page and get reconnected, dialed in. So again, yesterday we talked a lot about this is very important. The path or the cycle of brokenness that's so easy to get caught up in. Often couples get caught up in it very unintentionally. They don't mean to. As a matter of fact, they're trying to turn the marriage around. Literally, in the name of love sometimes, they can lose it, love, in their relationship. And so if you can see that, by the way, that's the first step. That's an important step in breaking free to a new life together. So let's go back. We're in trouble in our relationship. It's not fun. We don't like each other. All we do is fight. It's a sad place to be. And in the midst of that, and here's the guilt-free drop to everybody. All marriages are going to go through times or periods of disaffection. Problems aren't really the issue. It's what you do with them or in the midst of them that will determine the future of your relationship, your love together. Sharon, we're in a mess. Take us to step one. We need a healing path. How do we take a step toward each other?
Yes. And the first step is to recognize that your marriage is on the edge of the cliff. It's being able to say we're disconnected, we have parallel lives, I'm quick to be irritated or frustrated, I'm quick to defend, to be able to admit and to be able to look at your marriage and to review what's going on, and to be able to get on your knees and say, Lord, is this what you have for us?
Sharon,
is
I believe that most couples are unaware or underaware of the crazy cycle that they're in. They're in a crazy cycle.
Yes. It becomes their new normal. I fight, argue, I'm critical, you defend, you then just go off and watch TV, and then I take care of the kids, and then I tell you, oh, so you're not going to be with me tonight. And you roll your eyes, and you continue changing the channels. That's our new normal, and it's being able to slow down, that the Lord called us to be each other's safe haven. The Lord called us to love well, and for us to be everything he has for us to be. And who have we become in our marriage? Have we become angry, bitter, resentful, withdrawing, shut down, closed off? That's not who God has for us to be. And to assess that and say, I want more from my marriage. I want to be more.
You use the word safety a lot. I'm going to go to a counseling session or two I've had through the years. I remember this one lady in particular. She was so frustrated, so angry that she just sat in the office and cried. It's like she didn't have anything left. She just bawled her eyes out and said, Tim, I don't know what to do. And every time we're together again, it just like comes at me. I don't even want to go home. I don't want to be there. That word safety becomes important. In our last broadcast, we talked a little bit about negative behavior being far more predictive in value than positive. In other words, when you say something to hurt or you do something, like you joked about not taking the trash out, well, people would say, that's stupid. No, not really, because if you're wounded, you didn't take the trash out. You know why? Because you wanted to be mean. You're being mean to me. That's all you are. You know I'm going to be late or it's raining out, and you did that on purpose. See, when you're really in trouble, those things, ones become threes, threes become fives, fives are tens, right? Am I right?
Right.
And so talk to us again about calling a truce, I guess, recognizing the hate basically that's going on, and how do we stop that? I mean, we've got to stop the negative.
Yes.
We've got to stop it.
Yes. And the way to stop the negative is remembering that this person in front of you is a struggling human being whom you chose to love and to cherish, and you've lost your way. Now, first, when you talk about safety, one is reassessing, am I in a difficult marriage or am I in a destructive, abusive marriage? Mm. If you feel you are in a destructive, abusive marriage, then you need to get counseling right away. If you feel your husband or your wife is an addict, is abusive, and that is just destroying your soul and is damaging, then you need to get help right away.
Probably the only hope for the marriage is to get help.
To get help. Do couples counseling, do a marriage intensive, but to be able to call my office. Call my office, email me, grow@havenofsafety.com, and find out where can I get help? Is this a destructive and damaging marriage? But we're talking about more difficult marriages, marriages where we start arguing that you didn't take the trash out and that you not taking the trash out has meaning to me. My dragons are raised when you don't take the trash out, and my fears and vulnerabilities put meaning on why you didn't take the trash out.
You're struggling with, you don't care about me. That's really what it is. You're
right. And at the bottom line, if my fear is I'm alone, I have to take care of myself, you don't love me and care for me, then that meaning gets put on the trash, you not taking the trash out. And because you don't care about me, you're not there for me, I have to take everything on, do everything on my own, is so dangerous for me. My amygdala, that part of my brain that says danger, danger, you're now alone, fires up, and now I am primed to face the danger, and you become my danger. And I start fighting what seems dangerous. I might up the ante, I might use loud, harsh, critical words, or blame or attack, all so that you can see, you know what, when you didn't take the trash out, it made me feel like I'm alone, that all the responsibilities are mine and you don't care for me. But instead of being soft and sharing that, I get harsh and critical, and now I'm attacking and I'm blaming you. You don't care about me. And then as you're listening, you go, well, of course I care about you. I just didn't take the trash out because it's raining. And you're wrong in thinking that I don't care about you, so I defend myself. Well, of course I care about you. What are you talking about? You're crazy, you know? And then I'm
like, so's your whole family.
Yeah, and so's your whole family. And I'm like, I'm not crazy. You're crazy. You've got a problem for not admitting that you have a problem. And so I up the ante more.
Yeah, you're sick.
Yes. And the more I up the ante, the more you defend yourself. And the more we get disconnected, the more we're not emotionally attuned. And then I'm resentful.
Yeah, there's no attunement. That's a great word.
Yes.
We don't understand. We don't see each other. I had dinner the other night with a couple, and it was intentional. They wanted to talk about the mess they were in. Toward the end of the evening, she had an aha experience. And the truth was, she was very sad and broken, okay? Empty, alone. I mean, she cried. But all of a sudden, she looked across the table and saw her husband and for the first time realized that he was feeling the same way. And she couldn't believe it. And she cried a little bit and she said, I'd never seen him like that. I didn't understand that. He is so frustrated. He's so angry. And everything he's doing just irritates me. But the truth is, he is frantic. He is so chaotic because he's so afraid we're going to break up and that it's over. Mm-hmm. And you can get so caught up in this cycle and you can't even see each other anymore, can you?
Yes. And that cycle is
and
what...
And the hate's just going everywhere.
Yes. And that cycle becomes destructive. That is a very powerful story you just told, Tim, because when we are able to get past that M&M coating, that prickly shell, that defensiveness, that guardedness, or that attacking shell we have, when we get to see past that to our spouse's softer side, as that woman did that night, that she looked past her husband defending or attacking or protecting, to see he's a struggling human being who has needs and hurts and just doesn't know how to share them in a way to be heard. When we start seeing each other's softer side, it starts lowering our guard.
And it almost demands that we stop.
Yes.
You know, that we really, and this is important. I hope everybody understands this. Reducing the negative means you've got to put that stuff into a box. That we understand you're going to fight.
Yes.
But you can't let this continue to fester. You hear what I'm saying? And Sharon, this again, this is a hard piece for couples to break through. This is often where they need that third party to come in and to have a safe place where they can discuss volatile issues. Maybe they're frustrated over each other's family, or there's been a past hurt that they just can't get beyond. They can't release. They can't forgive. As they start seeing that, you can, by the way, increase the positive. And I know this sounds very simplistic, but it's not. When you become aware of the destructive patterns, when you start focusing on reducing the negative, and you start realizing that we need a little love to flow between the two of us because I'm empty, I'm alone, and all I want is for someone to what? Love me. Okay, what I can do is say, I never saw you like that before. And if I can just start doing some slow, careful reach back to you, like, I'll pray for us. Is there something I can do for you?
Yeah, and you're right, Tim, and things and saying like, can you say that a different way? Because I feel a guard going up, but I know you are trying to tell me something important.
You know what this guy said the other night? He said, you told me not long ago that I was a good dad. He said, that shook me up so much because it meant so much to me. When you just tell me something like that, I'll walk on glass for you. But because they're fighting so much, there's none of that soft love coming through.
Right.
So these emotional strands of connectedness aren't there where you feel close. Right, Sharon? So we somehow have to begin, and this is where you might need some baby steps of help. Getting that to start flowing between the two of you again.
When you have so much negativity and literally your emotional brain perceives your spouse as the enemy, to start crumbling that wall and to start lowering your own guard and to start appreciating, listening, be slow to react. Don't do a harsh startup or immediately defensive or blame, but to be able to say something kind. Like, can you say that again? Because I really want to understand you. Or I value you. I woke up this morning and I'm really glad I have you. Or is there something I can do for you today? Or I appreciate you. You know,
just slip in a little note somewhere.
Yes.
Or send a text or whatever.
Yes. And even to be able to say, you know, we're in the meantime. We haven't fully got down the road. We haven't gone to counseling yet. We haven't done the intensive. But I know we'll get through to the other side because that's the heart of God for our marriage. But in the meantime, I want to appreciate you because I know you're hurting just as much as me. You're wanting to be valued and seen and heard just as much as me.
I love it because it means something to all of us. Maybe this is where, like, Gary Chapman's love language just becomes important, because we don't know how to reach to each other in each other's love language, especially at this kind of a moment.
Yes.
You can be loving someone with everything you got and they don't know it.
Well, they don't hear it or see it.
Yeah, they don't feel it.
Feel it. Yeah.
It's like, wait a second. Yeah. What else do you want me to do?
Right. I did the dishes. Don't you feel loved
so
by me?
Yeah. Then I don't even care if you do the dishes.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Right.
I did the dishes.
Just come sit and hold my hand. Just spend time with me. You know, then I feel loved. But you're right. Understanding each other's love languages, that I can reach you so that you can feel safe again with me, that you can trust me with your heart, that you know I'll be emotionally available and attuned to you. I want to know you. And I want to respond to you in a caring manner, that I now start having good manners versus bad manners. And you know, my mom always said, we can treat people out on the street with the best manners, but when we come home, our spouse becomes the same old couch, the same old, you know, person, and we then can be rude and short, and then we feel, but I'm just being me. No, you're being bad mannered.
Think about how pathetic we are in loving each other.
Yeah.
It's shameful.
Yes. And our spouse needs to receive the most of our smiles. My mom always said she was trying to make life on earth a little bit of heaven for my dad. And I remember one time me saying, but Mom, Dad was just kind of critical to you and kind of snippy to you. You know, why are you still making him a cup of tea? And she said, no, I have chosen to love you, Dad, and I've made that promise to the Lord. And who I want to be and how I want to love is my obedience to the Lord. So if your dad chooses to be snippy and you know, I'll go to him and I'll say, hey, that hurt me, but I'm not going to be reactive in my loving. Then I'll be mean back. Then I'm not going to make you a cup of tea and I'm going to use bad manners. No, I'm going to love you. I'm going to come to you eye to eye, loving and caringly, saying, you know, last night when you didn't take the trash out and then you said I was kind of silly or stupid, you know, that really hurt me. I'm going to speak love. I'm going to go softer, quieter, gentler when I speak my complaints and my hurts. I'm not going to get louder and more angry and critical.
Got to train yourself in this,
Sharon. Oh, my
goodness. Hey, it takes work because it's natural to want to just go,
and it takes character.
Yeah, it does.
And that's when the Lord says, you've got to grow and become like one whom has created us. That is a lifelong journey to grow our character. We started doing Becoming Real seminars and classes for people. I've started doing intensives for individuals because they say, okay, I get it. I came to the marriage intensive. I know what I need to do in the marriage. But for me personally, to grow and become Christ-like, to love well, is a whole nother journey that the Lord calls us on. And I hear you.
Sharon, let's do this because I know we're fighting the clock a little bit. A number of people listening, no doubt, are in a situation where it's painful. Maybe their spouse is done, or the hurts are so deep that they're stuck. They're trying, but they can't get beyond it, and they're going to need some help and forgiveness. And we got a lot of work, because when you look back at these two broadcasts, you realize, man, we've hurt each other a lot, and we're going to need a lot of the deep oil of forgiveness and grace.
Yes.
Going to have to bring some honor back. But for those who are stuck and they need help, you've been involved, and I know a number of people out there doing now these marriage intensives. I'd like for you to take a moment and talk about why they're significant and what you really try to get done in, say, like a, quote, maybe an extended week of just doing intensive couples therapy.
Yes. In my experience, I am finding that couples do better in an intensive setting. That means they will come for 2 to 3 to 4 days, and we work on the marriage from 9:30 to 4 o'clock every single day. And some couples go,
I bet that's a little bit of fun.
Is this going to be like you're going to beat me up for 3 to 4 days? No. We get to the heart of the issues right away. We get to the softer side. We get to identify the cycle. and we get to identify what's really going on and what are you really longing for. We get to identify the hurts and how to heal them.
Yeah, you're not skirting the issues,
no.
Sharon. You're going into the mess.
Oh, and I tell you, couples will say, what? It's 1 o'clock. It's lunchtime already. My goodness, that went by so quickly. You see, a lot of couples go to weekly sessions, and I'm not saying all weekly sessions are not good and healthy, but a lot of times couples say...
It depends on the couple.
Right. It's the argument
situation.
Of the week. We're just unraveling, yeah. And men feel you're going to pick at me, and I'm the problem, and she's...
So every week, every therapy session's a disaster.
Exactly. And we don't get anywhere, and we've been doing this for 6 months, and an intensive can get you ahead... what would take 6 to 8 months worth of counseling. And I highly recommend reaching out and investigating and researching the intensive. And you can reach me at grow@havenofsafety.com. I'd be willing to give you information on the intensive model versus couples counseling and to find
Sharon,
you something.
And I want to throw this in too. We know now that if couples go for marriage counseling, typically, they're getting the help they want. These marriage intensives, they tend to have a very high success rate, don't they?
Very high success rate, yes. We get to the heart of the issue within those first few days. And so it's productive. And you walk away with having gone through a path instead of just dealing with the argument of the week. And I would love to, if I can, Tim, say that Family Talk, if the listeners would like to do an intensive. I would like to work out something that to make it affordable for them so that no couple should be stuck arguing in resentment when there is help.
You might get a little overwhelmed.
Well, we can work together.
Sharon, yes, we can. We will. And Sharon, would you take a few moments here and now, I guess? I want to slow this way down. For the woman who may be driving down the road in her van, and the kids are back there, and this is her story. Or maybe it's the man, he could be in a truck, middle of Arkansas somewhere. And every time he calls home, it's not working. He just wants somebody to pray for him. He's dialed in, she's dialed in. And would you just take a moment and pray for them, over them? And then we're going to learn a little bit more about how to get in touch with you. Okay, let's do that.
Yes. Well, thank you for tuning in and listening. And you are listening to today's program. It's not by chance that the Lord is calling you closer to His heart because He hears your cries. And Lord, as you watch this woman, this man, you know them by name, Lord. You know what's going on in their marriage, Lord. I ask that you will give them hope and courage and strength for this journey. That the Lord's desire for your marriage is for healing and wholeness, to bring you to His best He has for you. And that many couples come to the edge of that cliff, not because they want to leave, but because they don't know how to connect and their longing is to connect. So for you, I pray that the Lord speaks into your heart, into your marriage, and gives you the courage to step out to get help, to risk to be vulnerable with your spouse, to lower your guard, and to reach out and to love in a different way. The Lord is with you. You're not alone. And there is hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Sharon, one more time. How can they reach you?
My email address is grow, G-R-O-W, at havenofsafety. My website is safehavenrelationshipcenter.com. And I look forward to hearing your story and helping you get the information you need so you can make a decision on how to heal and grow your marriage.
There's nothing more beautiful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they actually love you. That's our prayer over you today, that God would do that work in and through your life.
Well, this is James Dobson again at the end of this second half of this broadcast. I do hope you've enjoyed listening to Dr. Tim Clinton as he interviewed Dr. Sharon May about her heart and passion for married couples here on Family Talk. If you missed part one of this conversation between these two clinicians, go to today's broadcast page, drjamesdobson.org, and there you will find a link to day one of this interview, along with more information about Dr. May's ministry, the Safe Haven Relationship Counseling Center. Find all of this and more at drjamesdobson.org, and then click on today's broadcast tab. We're out of time, but I've got to tell you this. I've got a suggestion, especially for the men who are listening to us. Today is February the 13th, and men, you know what that means. I hope you do. If you don't, you're in a lot of trouble. You dare not blow past Valentine's Day without finding a way to tell your wife that you love and cherish her. I've made that mistake a few times in our 57 years of marriage, and I'm determined not to do it again because it's not pleasant. Here's a good suggestion for the man who hasn't got a clue as what to do next. You might sign up for our program to help bring intimacy to your marital relationship. It's called 10 Days of Romance, and you can go to our website, drjamesdobson.org, to get more information. I'll tell you, you won't regret doing it. Once again, this is James Dobson. Thanks for being with us today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.